Today's passage is about a vision of hope given to the prophet Ezekiel, who lived in exile for 25 years in Babylon. Now, let me give you the context of the passage, touching on a bit about what Pastor John shared last week. The temple in Jerusalem had been devastated because of idolatrous sins and social injustice. God's people were taken into exile and they were scattered, while the rest were living in their own ruined land. There was no hope and there was no future, only judgment and destruction. And at this point, Ezekiel saw a series of visions. In his earlier vision, he saw abominations in the temple and the glory of God departing from the temple. But in his final vision, Ezekiel sees visions of a new temple. He witnesses the glory of the Lord returning to fill his temple. Ezekiel's vision zooms out even further to describe a new city and a new land. The new temple is in the very center of this new city. And correlating with the book of Revelation, Ezekiel 47 to 48 addresses the consummation of all human history in a symbolic way. Ezekiel 47 verses 1 to 12 describes a marvelous river flowing from the temple to bring life and healing to the land. The vision reveals God's heart for a broken world and testifies about the gospel of Jesus. God wants us to know his heart and to give us a river of life that flows out to heal our broken hearts and our world. And the verse that I really want us to focus on this morning is verse 12. Ezekiel 47, verse 12. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. We see here a beautiful image of paradise designed by God. This picture looks back to the Garden of Eden at the creation, Genesis 2, and looks forward to the new creation in the future, Revelation 21 and 22. The trees here are the trees of life. And there will be perfect redemption, including an ecological renewal. In this world, we see pain and sorrow. But in the new creation, all broken relationships will be mended and all wounds will be healed. It will be full of life and joy. Who wants that? Yes. What makes this possible? It is the water from the sanctuary that flows to them. It is the presence of God that brings life and joy. This is the place where we belong. Just meditating on this verse brings me joy. How much more joy will it bring to actually be there in person, to fully experience it? You know, I'm no gardener. I really wish I was. I love appreciating people's gardens and looking at the results of their hard work. And I'm sure we've all shared in the journey of Pastor Jazz's lemon trees and how she's so proud of them and puts up pictures. And that's a lot of hard work, looking after gardens. But how about in your Christian walk as we continue through this River of Life series? We not only want to get deeper, as John talked about last week, we also want to get stronger. And the thing I've noticed about gardeners is that they are intentional. They don't just take a handful of seed and they throw it to the wind and hope that a tree takes root or that flowers will grow in perfect colour and formation. My grandmother's backyard was a beautiful place. It was full of trees and beautiful flowers. And I have lovely memories of the sweet peas. That's an old-fashioned sort of flower, isn't it? Gorgeous sweet pea flowers growing up next to the old corrugated iron water tank. From humble beginnings, she grew the trees and the gardens on her property. And the health and growth of her trees, they were no accident. I'm sure she held those seeds in her hands. She had great dreams and plans and could just imagine what they were going to look like. Those trees that survived and grew because they were planted. My grandmother saw the potential in those seeds and those little saplings and she planted them by faith. What most people may have viewed as a waste of time, she considered a worthwhile investment. If ignored, some of those trees would never have reached the full potential or lived out their purpose. And like those trees needing fertile soil to survive and grow, it is essential that as believers, we are planted in a place that will feed and nurture our soul. The question is then, where do we find fertile soil? Robert, can you just pass me a tissue from my bag, please? The psalmist writes in Psalm 92, 12 to 13, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God." Thank you. I need someone mopping my brow. The psalmist compares those who are planted in the house of God to a strong and vibrant tree. The reality is we are only as strong as where we are planted, and we need to be planted where we are fed. When we are planted in the house of God, it is like a tree being planted in the best possible place and the most fertile soil. Psalm 1, 2-3 says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank." Water is essential to the vitality of a tree. If plants and trees lack enough water, they become weak and they struggle to survive. I'm no gardener, but I know that. On the other hand, if a plant is positioned near a stream, it will have a continuous supply of water and therefore become stronger and more vibrant. The same is true when we are planted in the house of God, because God's house provides a place where we are constantly being filled and where our faith is consistently being watered by the Word of God and His presence. The Word of God is our source of strength as a believer. It is our spiritual food that strengthens us as we hear and as we feed on it. And not just here at church on Sundays, but during the week with our quiet times, encouraging people around us to be digging into God's Word, life groups, and even through meeting up with someone for a coffee and discipling them. Let's be people who are watered by the Word of God and who are intentional about growing. Jesus describes the importance of the Word of God for the believer in Matthew 4:4. "People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Like water to a tree, the Word of God provides life to every believer. It is not an option, it is a necessity. We need to be planted where we can discover our purpose for living. Psalm 1:3 says, "They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season." There are various types of fruit-bearing trees, aren't there? Apples, lemons, peaches, cherry, coconut, mangoes. Not the usual ones you think about bearing, but just to name a few. And each tree bears its own unique type of fruit. And why do these types of trees exist? They exist for the purpose of producing fruit. And the same is true for you and for me. Like trees, you and I have a specific purpose, and God has equipped us with special gifts and talents to fulfill the calling that He has on each of our lives. The way that we discover our purpose and we develop our gifts is by being with the Lord and around His people. In fact, bearing good fruit is impossible any other way. We need to be planted where we can stand strong against the storms of life. Most trees lose their leaves in winter. Bitter cold weather is not conducive to growth. However, that is not how it is for those who are planted in God's house. The second part of Psalm 1:3 says, "They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves will never wither." Meaning that there is never a time where we will be overtaken by the storms and the trials of life if we are anchored in God. Although we may face different seasons and withstand different trials, if we are planted in God's house, those trials and those tests will only make us stronger. And I've shared a few times about the toughest times in my life. They were the times when I was absolutely intentional more than ever about attending church and being planted and making sure then more than ever that I was connected in with life group and women's groups and just having people around me so that I could be encouraged and I could be strengthened, supported. And then I would not have gotten through those times without God and without the encouragement of God-loving planted people. And perhaps you know someone today who needs some encouragement, who needs to be strengthened in the Lord, and we'll talk more about that in a tick. When we are planted in the house of God, we are choosing to position ourselves in a safe, protected place that is strong and stable in times of stormy trials that can, that will, come our way. And it is God's desire that you and I would be planted in his house. And here you are in church today, which is great, so that we can become strong like that 40-foot tree, a flourishing, vibrant tree that never stops growing. And once we're planted, we can flourish. And to flourish means to grow in a healthy and a vibrant way, and then to pass it on. A verse that came up in our life group a couple of weeks ago was from 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 4. And it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God." Our God is with us when we experience pain, loss, regret, sadness, and all manner of pain. He is not only with us, but he promises to bring us the comfort that we need when we face troubles. He is with us through all things. And God of comfort can also be translated to God of compassion. To have compassion is to have concern for the sufferings of others. This verse shows us that God recognizes our need to be seen, to receive the empathy and the care of others. God is interested in what we are going through. He does not dismiss our current circumstances or minimize our daily stresses as insignificant. He cares about and is there for each and every up and down that we face. Isn't that good news this morning? And he uses us, each one of us, to be a conduit of God's love for others. When God comforts me, I am now to be the carrier of kindness to someone else. Kirk Franklin, who shared a video devotion on this scripture recently in the YouVersion verse of the day, says, "We are to be walking billboards of the grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ." But as I meditated on the Ezekiel scripture over the last week, I was challenged more and more about being like that strongly rooted tree and prosperous. And as I mentioned above, flourishing with my fruit to serve as food and my leaves for healing. But why does all this matter? Because as I said at the beginning of my message, the world is in pain. It's a pretty uncertain time for people at the moment, maybe even yourself. I know it's been a tough couple of weeks for me personally. There is a lot happening. Did you know that roots under a tree look very much sometimes like the branches above ground, only bigger? And I'm amazed. Look at those roots on that tree. Isn't that incredible? It amazes me that the roots of a 60-foot tall maple tree can sometimes extend up to 100 feet down into the ground. And I know I've shared a bit this morning about roots and trees. My message is about getting stronger, so you have to listen to that. But it is an important message, something that we do need to take to heart. We need our roots to go down deep. We can often deceive people, thinking them that we are more spiritual or with it than we really are. We can have shallow roots, preferring to spend more time working on our outward appearance or the part of the tree that everyone can see. than on the hidden parts of our heart, the hidden roots, what really holds us together and keeps us firm when tough times come. But the blessed man and the blessed woman, they have deep roots. And our challenge this week is, how can we make our roots go down deeper, to be more solid, to be stronger? How can you spend more time this week meditating on God's word? Is there someone today that you can encourage, to give courage to strengthen in the Lord, to share your fruit with, to bring healing to people, to comfort people as God has comforted you? Would the worship band please come up? As I finished this message, I really did struggle with what the takeaway of this message would be. We're encouraged most weeks to dig deeper into God's word. In fact, Pastor Phil started the word off with a challenge to meditate on God's word day and night. Took someone literally to heart. So he set up quiet time groups day and night for all of January, which I think he had like an extra 40 people or something come and experience God's word afresh. How awesome is that? We're encouraged, I think, every week to serve God and to serve God's people at church. And unfortunately, our service expo got postponed again this week due to the possible storms and everything that are happening at the moment. But I love that we don't have to serve, but we get to serve. All ages, all areas. There are so many opportunities for us to serve. And we've certainly seen faith in action this week, haven't we? I love seeing our community and the church family hit the ground running and cleaning up the muck in Goodna, lovingly sorting through people's belongings and loving on them in time of need, taking around drinks and food and bringing hope and comfort in these desperate times. I don't know about you, but I watch the news and I see all the people helping out, and it really does make me cry to see people loving and helping and supporting each other. People who aren't necessarily aren't from our church or other local churches, but just people who want to make a difference in people's lives, to be a mate. The prophet Micah said God wants us to do justice, love kindness, and to be humble. Jesus added some other simple things as well. Forgive, be inclusive, show gentleness, be a peacemaker, and be hospitable. And of course, one overarching rule that sums up everything, love. And don't we just need some extra love at this time? As I said at the beginning of this message, it is such an uncertain and fearful time for so many. So this morning, I want to remind you that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's Psalm 34:18. And isn't that a message that we need to be sharing at this time? We will not be shaken. The world seems like a really shaky place right now, and we need a solid rock to stand on. God is that only one, never-changing firm foundation. He is where we can be, where we can find true refuge no matter the circumstances. So let's share these life-giving words with someone today, someone this week. And if you need to hear these words this morning, why don't you reach out to someone? Let's grow to be stronger together. Share in the healing waters from the sanctuary together. The French mathematician and philosopher Pascal said, "Everybody seeks happiness without exception." Where do you find happiness and satisfaction? Wealth, fame, drugs, endless entertainment, human love and success cannot satisfy our souls. Sin makes our soul desolate, dry, shameful, and miserable. We are not made for this. God implores us, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy?" And that's in Isaiah 55. This morning, let me ask you, are you going through a difficult stage in your life, yearning for healing and salvation? Maybe you live in dryness and bitterness. God wants to give you his water, his abundant life and blessings. Jesus promised in Psalm 7:38, Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, who is the very presence of God. Are you thirsty for the Spirit this morning? Come to the river. The mercy of our God is flowing like a rushing river. His presence is healing, sanctifying, and fulfilling. And what happens when this river flows? And I love how Pastor John last week spoke about the Dead Sea. The river that flows transforms everything that it touches. Eventually, the river from the temple enters the Dead Sea, which is the lowest place on earth, at 1,292 feet below sea level, to be exact. The Dead Sea is very dead as compared to normal seawater, which is 4-6%. Because of this extremely high mineral content, the water is toxic, and therefore no fish, no sea life can survive in it. However, as the water from the sanctuary flows into the Dead Sea, the toxic water is transformed. It is filled with swarms of living creatures because water from God brings healing. Verse 9 says, "So where the river flows, everything will live." And this transformation vividly illustrates the power of God's life-giving presence to heal and transform. When the Spirit flows, the barren become fruitful, the empty becomes filled, the dry becomes watered, the wounded are healed, and the dead become alive. As this water can reach even the depth of the Dead Sea, the lowest depression on earth, it can also reach down into the deepest places of our despair and our bitterness. So let us pray for you this morning. If you're needing to experience God's living water afresh, please come out for prayer after we sing this song. And if it is your desire to bear fruit, to be stronger, to go deeper, Jesus desires that living water to flow to us and to flow from us. Let's stand, let's worship together.